Broadcasting 2.0 for November 7th, 2025, episode 241, RSS Nut Jobs. Hello, warriors. Always wanted to say that. Hey, podcast nerds. It's time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. That's right. This is where everything that's happening in podcasting gets discussed, and then some, even some philosophy from time to time. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that moves mountains without lifting a finger. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who is now well-known everywhere. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm dot well known.
That would have been better. The man who is dot well known. Oh, crap. I almost want to do it over, but I won't. Well known.
No. I always try to catch you off guard, and you're too fast for me. You never get tripped up by a sudden rip.
So yesterday, I tried something. Let me see if I can play it for you. Hold on a sec. We did, we do No Agenda, and it always starts with Dvorak saying, hit it!
Uh-huh.
And let me see if I have it here. So we said, hit it. And I did this.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Hey, it's Thursday, November 6, 2025. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1814.
Whoa,
this
what?
This is No Agenda.
Who's that? Sling and Slop and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
Who is that?
That is the 11 Labs version of Adam Curry, which
that's horrible.
It's so odd because you can prompt it like three times with the same text and it comes up with different versions. That's the problem. It comes up with different versions every single time. There's no consistency.
And yeah, that's like the temperature or whatever.
Yeah, well, and they have their new version 3 model, you can add tags in parentheses, so you can say excited or intense.
Surfer.
I haven't tried Surfer. I think there was, at one point, I had like one sentence, and like, that sounds exactly like me. And what's interesting is I sampled it from the No Agenda show. So it has all my compression and it has all of that built into it, which is really interesting. Somewhere there must have been a little bit of a sound or a music bed or something, because that pops up from time to time as part of my voice.
Oh.
like a Manhattan Project where you've got a head sticking out of the ship or something. It's hallucinating while it's doing the generation, which is just a problem because there's no consistency. You can't really use it for anything.
It's annoying to me with 11 Labs because you find something that's almost just right, and then if you regenerate it again, you get something completely different.
You're like,
man, that was so close. If I could just like take the first part of that and just tweak this one thing, but you'll never get it back. It's gone. It's a goner.
That's the other problem. You can't get it back. You can't like, let me see. So I do fasted, excited. Let me see. I want to. Okay. So I did fastest and excited as some of the prompts here. Let's see if this works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Short one sentence.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the chapters in Apple Podcast?
Gross.
Horrible. Let's try the other version.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the chapters in Apple Podcast?
Hyperventilating. Is that one of the tags you use?
No, just let's try excited again. Let's try a different version.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the chapters in Apple Podcast?
Dave.
You put boner as one of the tags, didn't you?
Give me another, what should we say? We'll do,
catastrophizing.
Intense. Let's see what happens if I do intense. All right.
Prepubescent Adam.
Let's try this one. Let's see what pops up. Hold on. Here we go.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple podcast?
Oh, gross.
Do you hear that? But do you hear my room? Do you hear the echo of my room? It's all in there. That's the part that I find interesting.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple podcast?
No. That's so terrible.
Let me try sexy. Let me try that. And then we'll quit. I just want to try that last one. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple Podcasts?
Oh, man. Are you turned on now or what?
Hi, Dave.
Wait for this one.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple Podcasts?
That's a keeper. That's a keeper. I'm saving that one. Yeah. Hey, Dave.
Okay. I love the subtle addition of vocal fry and the love. Hey.
I'm crying. I'm literally crying. Hold on. I saved that one.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple Podcast?
I'm crying.
That is flaming too. I mean, just like that. This feels just like getting hit on. You know?
Oh man. So, but that's my point. So that probably cost 11 Labs $80 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just heated up a GPU for 20 minutes.
What is the future of this going to be? What is it going to be? I mean,
chatbots.
But see, if I could at least get it to consistently reproduce that gay, sexy voice, that would be cool. But I don't think there's any way to say, yeah, this one, these settings, at least I haven't found it. We could say, this is it. This is exactly what I want.
Which is weird because it's like at its core, an LLM is completely discrete. It's deterministic. Like if you have the temperature at zero and you don't introduce any randomness, it should literally give you the same output every time. But nobody does it that way because it drops the illusion.
Right.
And that's what and the whole thing is built on illusion, is smoke and mirrors. And if you don't have the randomness, then you don't start to feel the magic that this thing is actually a person.
Quote unquote magic. Well, here,
hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple Podcast?
Okay. So that's now because there's one slider, creative or robust. And it says, if you put it all the way on robust, it should be precise, stable, and predictable.
Hi, Dave. How cool is the Chapters in Apple Podcast?
Okay. So
does it actually give you the same thing every time now?
Well, let's try something else. Hi, Dave. Okay. In the future, people. Hold on. I can't spell.
I mean, you're going to be able to, if you keep getting better at this, you're going to be able to produce like a couple thousand episodes a week of this and just get in on that, on that money train, on that dynamic ad insertion money train.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Here we go. Let's see if it comes out predictable. Okay. New one. We've got something new. Here we go.
Hi, Dave. In the future, people will thank Adam Carolla for podcasting 2.0.
Yeah, yes, they will.
I should say 2.0. Okay, now let's try that again. See if it's consistent.
Hi, Dave.
No, it's not.
In the future, people will thank Adam Carolla for podcasting 2.0.
And it gives me two versions again.
Hi, Dave.
In the future, people will thank Adam Carolla for podcasting 2.0.
What is that? This sounds like a multiple personality disorder. That was two different people in the same voice file.
I love the opening.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, and then it goes into something totally different.
And that's the problem. If you could reproduce my voice the way I think it sounds good enough predictably, that would be fine.
Well, that one started with like a horny gay guy and ended up with Sam Elliott. It was completely different from start to finish.
Let me hear that one again.
Hi, Dave.
In the future, people will thank Adam Carolla for podcasting 2.0.
See, that last part is pretty good.
Yeah, but you have to suffer through the beginning to get to the end.
I don't know what to make of it. Hey, anyway, isn't that nice? We kind of knew it was going to happen, but it's nice that it happened. It's just all I care about really is seeing podcast colon chapters.
Yeah, it's a beautiful implementation. It's just as elegant and nice as transcripts.
Yeah,
I really think. I mean, they did a good job, I've got questions, you know, about the implementation and how it's going to roll.
Well, isn't
it how it's actually going to deliver?
Isn't it the same as transcripts that you have to go in and explicitly tell them you want to use your chapters?
Yeah. So,
I have a couple of shows on RSS.com and it just says submit everywhere. And you click on the boxes you want it to submit to. And I have no Apple Podcast Connect for my RSS, for We Get to Do This, for example, my podcast. I don't have a Apple Podcast Connect login. I know what my credentials are for my original Apple Podcast Connect. So how do I do that? How do I go
when's
in?
When's the last time you logged into Apple Podcast Connect? You're trying to figure out what year it was.
Show 1000. I think around show 1000 of No Agenda, because I switched away from Mac when they started screwing up USB. They had this whole period where USB was pretty broken.
Yeah.
And so that has to be 2010, 2011.
Who spends more time tweaking your Apple Podcast account, you or Ted?
Well, case in point, podcasting 2.0. I never added it to Apple. We don't even know who did that.
I don't know.
Whoever did that, could you please turn on chapters and transcripts? And so my next question is, the way our cloud chapters work, the ones that I do, is I put in one chapter to start with, just one chapter marker, and then Dreb Scott, like that. And then Dreb Scott goes in when he's listening to the show and then he adds the chapters. And so it really can take anywhere from 10 minutes to 5 days, you know, whenever he gets to it. Does that refresh on Apple Podcasts? Does it update? Do they even accept it if it's only one chapter? These are the things that I don't know. But it's kind of critical because I think there's also people, I know there's people who are crowdsourcing their chapters and they add over time as kind of like the old, what was that music service that I guess is still around? What's the...
SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, yeah. SoundCloud, you know, you could comment and it would, you know, put a little marker, basically a chapter marker in the timeline of your SoundCloud player. So I know there's some implementations of that. I think noagendashow.net might have a version of that or had it at one point.
SoundCloud comments is what he's
saying. Yeah. So does that carry through? Does that update? Do they cache it? I mean, these are the questions I have.
That's a good question. I don't know.
You're welcome.
Thank you for delivering on
that. I like asking good questions. Sound good questions. But I really don't know what the answer. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. That's their implementation. I'm just tickled that there's been so much negativity around this ragtag group of this orchestra of monkeys that has been working on this for 5 years now. We're in our sixth year. And, you know, the Apple hasn't implemented any of it. It's no good. In fact, I had to repent for this, but I will play it anyway. In the super secret WhatsApp group.
Oh yes. This thing that I always hear about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the podcast feed closed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. I think Elsie left, Libsyn, and I'm not sure what happened. It doesn't really matter. I mean, but they had a couple of very negative episodes about, if you recall, we discussed it here in the board meeting.
Oh, and you had a chat with
Rob. I chatted
with him.
Yeah, I remember he was, I'm hiring a dedicated podcasting 2.0 person. Okay. Who I've not seen yet on the Mastodon, but I'm sure it's coming any day now. So I posted, one day after Apple announces its second major tag adoption from our ragtag group, the feed folds, a quick flashback clip.
And yes, I know that Rob poo-pooed podcasting 2.0 because Apple doesn't support it.
Oh. I had to repent. That was unnecessary.
James on Power said this is not a success story for podcasting.
I heard that.
He's like, I was like, what are you talking about?
This is not a win. No, but in the same show, he basically said that he wrote it all up and then Apple made his implementation. So congratulations, James. Good job. Good job, James. Somewhere in all this pod love, I think, is forgotten. You know, this is iterations upon iterations. It's not like it's one person or one thing. You know,
pod love is the redheaded stepchild of chapters.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those guys because they were so early with a format that was able to be more easily dynamically updated, and people just always ignored them. It's not fair.
But no, it's not. It's not.
But I don't really care about quote unquote a win or anything like that. I mean, it's like, who cares? But the thing that I like the fact that it's just like the transcript you get. It's the right way to do it. It's the right way to do it. Yeah. I care nothing about people just like following our spec and saying, well, it's only valid if you only implement the spec and don't do it in any other way. That's, you know, like, I don't understand anybody who would feel that way. What they've done is the thing that makes a lot of sense for their customers.
Of course.
And for their listeners. And I wish I just wish that every app had the ability to do this. But it's expensive.
Exactly. And it reminded me of early on, we were talking about cross-app comments. And Martin, remember Martin from PodFriend? One of our early warriors who got taken out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taken out by the Swedes who attacked Denmark and took him out. I'm not sure what happened exactly.
Arrow right through the chest. Yep. Poor guy.
But, you know, he had that idea. You know, he said, hey, if we're going to do cross-app comments, I want to make sure that everybody can comment on every podcast that they can get in PodFriend. When he had the right mindset, but there was really no way to facilitate that. Other than him just running his own comment server, and you know, that's obviously going to be pretty overbearing, and there doesn't seem to be any real motivation for it at all. I think the cross part was more exciting than the comment part, and we have so many cross platform kind of things happening.
My read on what Apple is doing, and I want to make some commentary about just Apple Podcast and what the team is doing.
Okay,
in general.
Well, let me announce you then.
Hi, Dave.
Okay, go ahead.
No, can you never again? I'm banning that from the show.
I can't help
Hi,
it.
Hi, Dave.
It's now in my system.
Hi, Dave.
It's in my system.
I want to see what Apple Podcast auto generates for chapters for this based on all of that. Hi, Dave.
I mean, what,
it's going to have like a third host in here and all kinds of, you know,
third voice speaker, yeah, third voice. Speaker three,
speaker three. Yes. But in general, I think that, James may have missed the point. I feel like he may have missed the point in the same way that he missed the point about the podcast TXT record. You know, in the last couple of years, Apple's podcast team has added more podcasting namespace, more podcast namespace tags than they have iTunes namespace tags and, to their
stack. And let me just stop you there for a second, because Daniel J. Lewis is saying something in the boardroom. He's saying, well, you know, they already had chapters. This is not the point. The point is the namespace recognition. That's what matters to me. We are in the door now. The namespace is in Apple's ecosystem. That is much bigger than how it surfaces on the top, in my mind. Your thoughts, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Your thoughts.
This is my point too. This is my point exactly. You echoed my thought process, which is the bigger takeaway from this is not a particular feature, any one particular feature. It's that, and I made this point when Apple Podcast adopted Podcast TXT Record for verification purposes. To me, the bigger thing this says is that Apple is now looking to adopt an open source community focused approach to their features. They're saying for all these features we're doing in the past, we would just do something proprietary and we would just do it and we would just shove it out there and say, here's what we're doing. Everybody has to adopt this.
Yeah. Yes.
They're not doing that anymore.
Right.
What they're doing now is they're saying, okay, here's a feature we want to implement. Is there already a community based, an open source prior art, if you will, maybe not the right use of the term, but is there already an existing open source namespace standard that we can join into this thing that we're already doing, that we want to do, so that we get to do the feature the way we want it to be, and at the same time stay compatible with what the community is doing.
Yeah.
The open source community. And to me, that is a sea change
in thinking.
In the way it is. It's saying, okay, we are going to listen and we're watching what is happening in the open source RSS world. And we're going to make sure that what we do also plays nice with what you guys are doing. You can't overlook that. That's a huge deal.
It is.
It's a huge deal because that gives us confidence as open RSS, you know.
RSS. Don't say open RSS. I don't mind.
Yeah, that.
Just RSS.
That gives us as confidence as RSS tinkerers and...
tinkerers.
RSS tinkerers.
Vibe coders.
and crazy experimenters to know that what we're not just writing a spec in a vacuum and then throwing that out there and like Podlove 20 years from now, it's still not going to be, you know, ever be acknowledged.
No.
It changes my focus to say, okay, let's make sure these specs that we're working on are super tight. And I've got some idea, you know, I've got an idea about that in regards to the chapter spec that I want to talk about.
Okay. Well, why don't we
RSS launch? RPP, RSS nut jobs. Yeah.
Nut jobs. Right. Show title. Okay. Thank you.
But you know, I think that's the biggest takeaway. And it was, you know, I was listening to Accidental Tech this week and Marco made I noticed that he had made a comment about the chapters adoption.
Oh, what did he say?
Nothing specific, but one thing he said is he said that Spotify's podcasting surge over the last few years has, that he credits that with Spotify getting into podcasting with lighting a fire under Apple Podcasts team.
I think that's probably fair to say.
I completely disagree with that.
Really?
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I really don't think that. I don't think that the Apple Podcast team cares much about what Spotify is doing. I mean, there. Mm. Because it's not that sort of relationship. The Apple Podcasts and Spotify are not really competitors. Now, Apple Music and Spotify are competitors. You know, that's true. YouTube and Spotify are competitors. There are they Spotify has natural competitors, but I think Apple Podcasts is way out on the edge of what you could call competition from Spotify. I do not credit Spotify with pushing Apple Podcasts to make a bunch of changes or add a bunch of new features. I credit a reinvigoration of RSS.
Well, I'd much rather credit that for sure, but I'm not. The funny thing is when who was the guy that was running the podcast group before he left to create that dynamic news service? Which I don't know if that went anywhere.
Oh, Spooler.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about Spooler. Yeah,
the Spooler guy.
I forgot his name. Yeah,
Spooler CEO.
Is it John something? John?
No, it's a Spooler.fm. Boggs. There you go. James Boggs. Mm-hmm. James O. Boggs. Yes,
that's it.
I had this big chat with him.
Yeah, and you told him subscriptions were stupid.
Yeah. Well, that was their whole focus. I said, dude, look at everything we're doing. Look at all the join the train. Mm-hmm. And I mean, come on, subscriptions is not making a dent in Apple's bottom line at all. If anything, it's probably more hassle for them. You know what I mean? It's like just the customer service or customer support, if any.
Oystein Bear in the boardroom is saying Spotify and Apple Podcasts are competitors in Europe. When people are thinking about finding a new podcast,
they go to Spotify.
Yeah, they go to Spotify. But I've got to clear this up right now because this is going to be a misunderstanding of what I'm saying. That's not what I mean. When I say competition, I'm talking about financial competition. Apple Podcasts is not a money-making endeavor for Apple.
All right, I'm with you. I'm all in on that then. Yes, I'm all in.
Apple Podcasts could have never added another feature for 20 years and they would still just continue to exist inside of the Apple fortress forever because it's not a profit center for Apple. In that regard, Spotify is not their competitor. What Apple Podcasts is unique really in the whole world of media and mobile devices and that kind of thing. It's a very unique animal. And what I'm saying is I think Apple Podcast team has caught over the last few years has caught the fire of just a renewed vigor inside of RSS feature development. Because it's not just us. There's new stuff happening outside of just podcasting 2.0.
No.
But I know it's hard to believe.
No.
But there really is a renewed focus over the last 5 years in now you could say, okay, now you could say this may be true that Spotify came in and wanted to make everything proprietary and suck in and almost go to war with RSS. And that spurred people to want to make open alternatives in open namespaces and that kind of thing. And therefore that may have sparked the fire that then bled over into teams like Apple Podcasts to say, okay, now look at all this stuff going on in the RSS community. We can take some stuff from that and we can participate. That may be true.
Which is, in an odd way, it is exactly the way Steve Jobs started the podcast journey. Mm. Because he invited me to come speak with him privately for an hour. And he was interested in community stuff. he wanted to know how we were recording. Were we using Macs? You know, what were the issues? How about storage, bandwidth? He had all of these questions, including how to make money. And literally the only thing he wanted from me was for me to say, yeah, that's cool, Steve. Put it into iTunes. It was already in there. But he didn't need to have my permission, and he knew that. But he saw the community drive, and I think that was unique. Maybe at that moment in time, for him or for Apple, certainly. So I like that. And if you look at the original iTunes spec, there's all kinds. You know, my name's in there. Dave Weiner's in there. There's some historical pieces in there as they added to their. You know, as they added the iTunes namespace. So somewhere it's still in the, hold on a second. I got to do this. Hold on. RSS is in there. Okay. Let's try this. See how this sounds.
You're at full on addicted though.
RSS is in their DNA. Yeah. RSS is in their DNA.
Yeah, no, it's not very sexy.
Charlie Rose.
Yeah, it's not very sexy, but
no.
Yeah, so it's still in their DNA, and I think we revived these molecules, and I think it's exciting them. Honestly, I think it's exciting them because they need to go. They need to present, I'm sure, to some Starfleet command, like, hey, we're going to spend resources on this, and we're going to do this, and for them to be able to say, well. Look at the adoption rate, and there's hundreds of thousands of feeds that are already using this tag. Thank you, Buzzsprout, RSS.com. Who else is
Blueberry?
Blueberry is
Spreaker.
Is Podbean? Are they on board? Podbean?
Yeah.
Podbean. And who else am I thinking? Yeah. So you know, thank you. I mean, that's really what makes it all work is when the hosting companies go, okay. We're going to add this. That's what makes it all happen. And so they can say to their next level of management, look, there's an opportunity here for us that we can take advantage of, and we want to spend our cycles on this. And I'm sure that's how it gets approved. And I love that.
I think my take on my read on Apple in this regard is that. The people at Apple, the employees at Apple, the executives, they listen to and love podcasts. They also are obviously iPhone users, and they want their product that they use every day to be
better,
to have a top-notch podcast player built into it.
Yeah.
And they know it's not going to make money. But it's what they want for their own product to be. It would feel like less of a product if Apple Podcasts was not there in it. And I think Apple Podcasts, that's the role they play within Apple and within the device, is that they feel like it makes the device
more valuable and better.
And more valuable. And they themselves use it. So that's when I see them developing these features. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like they're developing it for themselves first. And you can't just live in a vacuum.
All right. Listen to me, Apple Podcast team. Wouldn't you love to support a podcast by hitting a button that says support this podcast? It could either go directly to the place where the podcast puts in a URL in the funding tag, or think of this, it could integrate with Apple Pay. Wouldn't you love to be able to do that? Wouldn't that feel good? Develop it now.
It's in your DNA.
It's in your DNA.
Hi, Dave. I think you convinced. I mean, that was such a natural pitch.
Ted is there. He's like, all right, I'm on it. I've got my deck ready.
No, he feels like he got cornered in the elevator by some creepy guy.
I wish we could have Ted or someone from the team on the show. That would be so much fun.
I know. I've asked. I don't think that it's going to happen.
Did you even get a reply? You didn't get a reply.
Yeah, I got a courteous reply. Yes.
Oh, which was like, maybe not this year.
it was a courteous, demure.
No. A courteous no.
But that's, yeah, no, I think that it's, I think I got encouraged by this in just a different way. I mean, my questions about it are this. If I'm subscribed to a feed that's private, then like a subscription only feed, do I get transcripts and chapters also in that? I don't know. I mean, am I going to get those chapters?
Say that again.
So if I have a private feed, like something like a members only thing where you get one of those special feeds just for you, will that also get chapters?
Mm.
Because this is, I've mentioned it before. My biggest pet peeve is that I pay for two podcasts from Twit for my job, Security Now and Windows Weekly. I'm a Twit member paying for that reason, but I still don't get chapters and transcripts.
Oh, even,
and the whole point of them not having chapters is they don't want you skipping the ads, but I don't get the ads anyway.
Right.
So give me chapters. I want this desperately because sometimes, you just have to wade through, an hour of content that you don't care about to get to, the parts that are relevant to you. And it's just painful sometimes, on a 3-hour podcast, trying to find out, where to go. It's that's my first question. And then my second question is what you said is how does it update? If the chapters are dynamically changing, is there an update mechanism that happens? And I do have this now. The comment about I know that, Nathan. I'm just saying that like the Twit members only feeds don't have ID3 chapters, they don't have any chapters at all. And I'm hoping that the Apple Podcast app could auto create them. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Mm.
But so the question arises about dynamically inserted ads and the chapters file staying in sync with that.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Like if your show has set slots in it that get filled, then that's not as big of a deal. But if it's not, if it can have slots that don't always get filled, then what James said is right, is sometimes you could get a chapters file that doesn't necessarily match the enclosure you are delivered.
Right.
Now, if your chapters are, and this affects all chapters except MP3 embedded chapters. But we know that MP3 embedded chapters also have drawbacks. So there is no winners here. There's pros and cons to all of this,
Hold on. You hit my magic button, man.
Oh, I know. There are no
winners. There's no winning. We don't like to foster a competitive atmosphere, but we laugh a lot. Now everyone hug and share a secret.
Yeah, baby.
Hi, Dave. So let's hug and share a secret. The secret is, I think that we could tweak this and make and deliver a chapter's URL in an HTTP header when the enclosure is delivered. So if we had something like, I'm spitballing here. Mm-hmm. I just kind of was thinking about this earlier. if when the enclosure is delivered, if you also in that enclosure delivery, if you had a way to say like x-chapters URL as a header with a link to a chapters file that has been modified, to accommodate the offsets, the proper offsets for that dynamically adjusted enclosure, that could be a solution to it. I don't know. I'm curious to see what people think about that.
Yeah. I mean, isn't this ultimately a hosting company issue? I mean, do we need to fix it that way? I mean, first of all, it's an issue of the, it's an operator issue. I want dynamically inserted ads. Okay. Well, pay the piper. You've got a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that created the problem, not the chapters or the transcript spec. It was, you know, dynamically inserted ads, just like, just threw it in, and no one was thinking about, you know, the downstream effects.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's... for somebody like Buzzsprout, where they insert... So your enclosure is going to get a certain set of ad insertions stitched into it sort of ahead of time. They can make those adjustments. And so those chapters files stay in sync. If you have a company that's doing just like truly Wild West on the fly, you request an enclosure and it creates a unique enclosure for you at that very moment. That's where it gets difficult. I don't know how prevalent that is over this sort of pre-rendering of it. I don't have visibility into that. But, you know, I know that, I mean, I know it's large and it's, I would have to imagine that dynamically adjusting the enclosures, just looking at the number of feeds in the index and which hosts those are attributed to, I don't think it's clear that there's one that happens more than the other. I don't know. I don't know what Spreaker does. I don't know if they stitch it together at the time that the GET request happens, or if they sort of, you know, if they pre-render those too, I don't know. Nathan's saying something. He said, the fact I've never encountered a DAI podcast with ID3 chapters tells me it will never happen. You know, that's the thing, is that there is no perfect chapter solution. The MP3 embedded chapters have drawbacks. The, you know, Podluf chapters have drawbacks. Cloud chapters have, 2.0 chapters have, I mean, to me, the 2.0 spec, to me at least, kind of hits the middle of the road where the pros and cons sort of balance themselves out in the best way. I think the other solutions have a con that is more severe than the 2.0 chapters. And I think that may be why Apple decided to go with that spec, is because it really does just sort of kind of, it doesn't suffer. It does have cons, but they're just not as severe as the other ones. And because the ID3, you know, the embedded ID3 chapters, those things are a pain in the butt. You know, I mean, it's like embedding images directly into an audio file. That's things like that. And just having to do all that's not having to re-encode your audio every time you want to put a different chapter marker in. I don't know. It's just goofy. So I think that's why they probably did that, is because the downsides are just not as steep. In the absence of a truly perfect spec, let's, I mean, after dealing with value for value stuff all week,
Yes.
We can clearly say that there are no perfect specs here. You know?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
But we do have a LN address now for the index.
Yes, I actually, I changed it for our live, and I will change it for the, for this episode. It's podcast, I think, index.
You need to change the feed too, Adam.
What do you mean?
It's like in the value block in the feed, it's the channel itself.
I'm not following you.
Cause I was seeing the other day that, see, we still have the node address in the value block that's in the channel.
Hold on. Oh, that's a good, well, I haven't changed, I only changed for this live episode. I figured this is exactly why I didn't do any more, because I figured Dave will tell me what to do. Let me see. Yes, there it is. So let me change that. By the way, thank you, Stephen B. Stephen B now has little warnings in Sovereign feeds, which I've been using for years now. Sovereignfeeds.com. There's a little warning next to each value block entry. It says, please update to use LN address.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So I'm going to do that right now, LN address, and I change that to podcast index at getlb.com.
Okay. The stay safe sage also needs to change in there too. To be me.
What are you?
Dave at getlb.com.
Okay, hold on.
There's also Saturn test. I think Saturn's dead.
Yeah, hold on a second. Okay. What is your LN address? What is it again?
Dave at getalb.com.
You're just Dave. Wow. Mm-hmm. Getalb.com. Okay. Fixed. Boostagram monitor. That's, I need to change that. Dreb Scott needs to change. I forget what he is. I'll check that in a second. I'll remove the Saturn test because that's dead.
Yeah, that's toast.
Fountain Boostbot. I think that's, isn't that Boostbot at fountain.fm?
That sounds right, so. I think.
Boostbot at fountain.fm. Okay. So those are the ones I can change right now. Let me just double check. Hold on 1 second. What is Dreb? Dreb is Dreb Scott at GetAlbi. Okay, that makes sense. So back here. This is Stephen B. You've created such a beautiful piece of software, brother. I hope this thing always stays in my life.
So I'll briefly like run down what I did this week.
Okay.
With regards to this. So I initially dove in and was like, okay, I'm going to set up an Albi hub on the PayPal server, mm-hmm. and then that will connect with the podcast index node.
Sexy.
For sysadmin reasons, I decided not to do that.
Tell me about it. What, it's in your DNA.
I got into it and I could, well, first of all, I did initially set it up that way. And then I found out that you can only get channels to your Albi hub. Like, even if you set it up that way, excuse me, I'm trying to get my thoughts clear. If you set it up that way, I was concerned about the security of having that thing directly linked to our node and also having an open port on that server.
Mm, yes.
I don't understand, you know, I don't know what is going on with Albi's code in the Albi hub, if it has a flaw in it or a vulnerability, and that thing's running directly on our node with a pipeline directly on our servers with a backend pipeline to our node, mm-hmm. some kind of vulnerability could just, you know, drain us.
Anything could happen. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. It just seemed too risky. So then I went to, okay. Well, I was like, well, we could do cloud hosted node with Albi and let them run the node, the Albi hub, But then,
there's all kinds of issues with liquidity.
Yeah, the liquidity. I saw you have to buy a channel.
Yes, and that channel is, I think, initially outbound only. I think.
Yes.
But I don't think it's a balanced channel. Yeah.
It's all one side. Yeah, it's one sided. You were exactly right about that. And so I was like, well, you know, it just really seems like not cool to have to buy liquidity when we have a node sitting here with, you know, with two point something Bitcoin
with,
on it.
A lot of liquidity everywhere. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we have two, you know, we have 100 and something channels on this node. I mean, we can easily open up a channel, but it doesn't seem to be an easy way to do that. So I was like, well, okay, that's not going to work. So I was like, okay, well, fallback plan. I will throw the Albi Hub on a machine that I own and run.
Mm-hmm.
And then buy a channel and then let those transactions come in, and then I will just batch send those over to the podcast index node periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. We're going to miss the metadata and the boostagram part of it if things come through that way. But as long as we have splits, we'll still get that metadata info in the other place.
Yeah. And I do want to say that as I've been looking at this, I've been changing things around. You can log into Strike on their website.
Uh-huh.
And it actually gives you a pretty nice feed of everything that's coming in. And this is actually, in a way, it's kind of like it, because if the, I have to log in again. I guess they log you out after a certain amount of inactive. Oh, there you go. If your boostagram is short enough, it shows up entirely. So I'm looking here. So we just got a boost, and I can retrieve that right from this web page. And it says, good to see stuff being worked out. RE boostagrams in the Masto today. I'm confident that Oscar, Stephen B., Alex et al. Will come up with a great solution. Alex's MetaBoost proposal seems interesting. And that was from Sir Libre. And it cut off the last bit, which was interesting to me, by the way, v4vmusic.com. Now, what it doesn't give me is the overall boost amount. So I could probably reverse engineer it, so it doesn't show me that it was 22,222 sats.
Yeah, but it's not going to give you like the GUID and all that.
Well, the message comes through just purely as the message. I love Eric PP, by the way. Everything is undefined, Eric PP. That's the same as same as Podlink, undefined. It's like he's got undefined in his DNA. So that's too bad. That the actual full on amount doesn't come through. By the way, that could of course always be put into the message, I guess.
Right.
But we're not that far off. At least it's coming through. And you see the Fountain, it still gives you a link. I see a test boost from so Fountain is now sending it a little bit differently. I'm getting from them. I'm getting RSS colon colon payment colon colon boost. Then I get a URL, which takes me to the actual, almost like the TLV, all the metadata. And then I still get the message test boost, creepy eyes, creepy eyes, creepy eyes. But I don't know that it's from Oscar.
That should be in the,
well, it's in
the header that gets returned. Because his proposal that he's talking about is a way for apps to return the boost metadata.
Yes. Now, well, that piece is actually working, because if you follow that link, https. Let me just follow that for a second. So I'm gonna going to put that link into the boardroom so people can see it. So if you follow that link, let's see what happens here. But actually, yes, it pops up. Wow, it even gives you a curl command for it. How about that?
Yeah.
And, there it is. Yeah, very nice. Very
vibe
nice.
Vibe code friendly. So, if this, now this does not solve the, you know, the general problem of how do you specify a place to send the metadata. That's the, you know, we, that's still a job for some in a neutral way. I mean,
hold on a second. Let me just, because I'm the dumb guy here. So Fountain is, they've specified a place for their app, and their app is fountain.fm/whatever? Some more stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and they are telling me in the message, here's where you get the metadata. Mm-hmm. So isn't that all I need? Why do we need to specify a certain place you send it to? If I'm using a different app and I send a boost and that gets stored on my app server, as long as it has the same basic structure that you can retrieve all the metadata, isn't that enough? Why do we need to does everyone have to send to the same place? Is that what you're saying?
That's good for Fountain or for apps that are going to host that are going to take on the hosting of this data themselves. But if you're an app that doesn't, where do they send it? That's the question. Like where
null.
Dev zero. if you're an app that wants to support sending boosts and you just are going to, and you've decided that you're going to link, I'll paint the hypothetical here. You are you're an app that has decided that you want to just link to somebody's Strike wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to use to send boosts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not supporting KeySend out of the gate because Strike doesn't do that. You're just calling their API. You do an OAuth link over to Strike's wallet, and so now you have a linkage there, and people listening to podcasts can send boosts to other users as long as they have an LN address.
Mm-hmm.
You are a device only app. You don't have a back end, so you're not going to be able to host payment metadata.
I got it.
So what we need and what Oscar has given us is a way to present it back, to give a URL that will then return the data, the return the metadata in a way that we can all read mm-hmm. from the HTTP header. We also need a complementary spec that will define in the feed where the metadata can be sent. So this hypothetical app that locks into Strike,
I see,
can send the boost and then also read the feed and say, here's an API endpoint that I can send this boost metadata with it.
Would that not be a function of your hosting company or your hosting setup then?
Could be, or it could be a third party.
Right.
You know, Albie could choose to host it or Fountain could host it for others.
Right.
They could do a third party deal. This could be, or you could roll your own. Maybe it could even be put into Helipad somehow.
Yeah.
So it could, as long as we have an open API, the MetaBoost spec is what Alex has been working on. When that spec gets to be mature, then I think what we have is we got all the pieces of the puzzle. Right. We have a place to send the metadata, and then using Oscar's spec, we have a consistent way to retrieve it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're doing here is basically reinventing Noster.
I don't think so. No, that's not the way I read this at all. No.
But you could use a Noster relay, I guess, technically, if it had an API for it.
I mean, Fountain already does. They've already published the spec for how to do that.
Right,
yeah,
that's, right. But that so, already but, exists. So, yeah, but no one wanted to do that. Am I just understanding that correctly? So basically,
yeah.
The idea of storing it on Noster, everyone went, nah, I don't think so. So now, just to summarize, Alex is working on a MetaBoost API spec.
Yes.
Okay. And so that will be so, right. So, and so that's something that I could either roll my own, cause I'll vibe code that in a day, or third, you know, I can see Spurlock creating something like that and take, yeah. and taking a piece of the split for it.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a good
idea.
That,
yeah. I think this all makes sense.
Which by the way, I would prefer, John, I would much rather prefer giving you some sats and you hosting it and making it work than me doing it. But you could be sovereign and do it yourself.
I think that once, now that we have an LN address that we can receive things from, we can actually put in the first implementations of what this is. We can host a MetaBoost spec API, MetaBoost API server, and then we can publish it back out using Oscar's HTTP header format. And I think we will host this stuff as proof of spec.
You and I, Podcast Index.
Yeah, you're going to vibe code it, baby.
Hey,
this is all you.
Give me the spec and I'm done. You have no idea what I've been doing so much. Now that I know what the heck is happening in my code, I'm actually getting pretty good at adding a feature. I added an entire library system to the, you know, to the Your Town live stream system. And and so this library, when you go to the page, it extracts all the metadata. You can preview it. It'll tell you where it's scheduled. You can delete it. It'll delete all the schedules. You can search. You can sort by any of the fields, title, artist, year, duration, folder. I did that in 2 hours. I was blown away.
What does your back and forth process look like? This is still mysterious to me.
Okay. I'm happy. So the Your Town live stream. So basically this is, so everyone understands, there's a streaming portion. It uses a YAML file. The YAML file tells it what to pull, and the YAML file. So that part has been running for weeks and weeks and weeks. That actually works pretty well. It's solid. The management part is what I've really been working on. So there's really only one app. It's a Flask app. And the Flask app has endpoints, and the endpoints are called by HTML files. Right? So I have manage, override, library, studio. And so when I go into to create a new feature, so that would be the library feature, I paste these. I use Grok exclusively, and I've been using Grok expert mode, which I like because it's costing somebody a lot of money somewhere and it's costing me nothing. So I like this a lot. the Grok fast 4 beta mode. Don't try that because it after like 3 iterations, it starts giving you back just pieces of code. Anyway, so here's my process. I'll say, I have a streaming radio server, I have a management system that runs off of this Flask app. I paste the entire code in. Then I say, I want to add a page similar to this one. I'll paste in the HTML code for actually one of the, like Studio, which is just it's a smaller file. Paste that in. And here's what I want it to do. And then I say, give me the entire file. HTML file and rewrite the entire Flask app with your changes, and do this every single time that we change something or fix a bug, because I suck at editing inline and it's confusing. And then it will spit back quite quickly. Actually, the initial, it'll spit back the whole Flask app. It'll give me the HTML file. And then I monitor the log, and if it doesn't work, and this thing worked very well almost off the bat. And so let's say, okay, I like this, but I want to change something. I'll say, you know, change this, and it'll give me back the full if it needs to, if it needs to rewrite the Flask app, it'll give me that, the Python and the HTML file. And I just keep doing that over and over again. Sometimes if you go on too long, then it starts giving you back half a file. It's confused. And so then I'll just start a new session and I'll say, here's what I was working on. I need to fix this. And here's the Flask app. Here's the HTML file. It usually will fix it on the first go around. Once you're in this loop and it's like when you can start to feel it going towards the you need to rebuild your kernel phase you need to reinstall Icecast. No, I don't. You know, this is the stuff that I learned. Then you just open up a new session and then it comes back pretty good. And that's how I do it.
So you paste in your entire Flask app is what you said, but is it all a single file? How do you get?
Yeah, it's one file. It's one Python script.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I look at my projects, like I look at the projects that I build and I'm like, I have 100 files here. Like, how would I even?
Well, you're not very efficient at coding, obviously. I don't know what you're doing, Dave Jones.
your classic project layout is, you know, all your classes are, you know, each class is in its own file.
And class, each, you know, modules class, and modules. It just imports stuff. I have not made any of my own modules. I'm using everything off the shelf. So let me tell you how many lines of code this is. What is the command to give? I can do it differently. I'm sorry. I've gotten pretty good at this. Web UI app WCL. Okay. 1,557 lines.
How many? 1,757?
1,557 lines of code. And it basically loads the whole thing into memory, including the HTML pages. It's all in there just as good. And it runs as a service. So if I make a change, I change the file and then I restart the service.
Because I'm interested in this because one of the things I did this week, which was I said last week I was going to export all the value feeds out. So I posted that earlier today. Let's see if I can pull it up. I exported all the feeds and along with what hosting company was hosting each feed that had a value block in it so that we could get a read on, you know, who needs to be contacted and in order to change LN addresses and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this was a simple script to write, but, and that's kind of the issue is sometimes I have a pretty simple thing I need to do. But actually sitting down to write it is annoying. And I would love to just be able to tell some sort of coding agent exactly what I want it to do and just let it and just do it. Because I'm like, okay, this script is going to be 100 lines long and I just don't want to type all that stuff. Mm-hmm, because I've got 10 other things I'm doing at all points of the day. Mm-hmm. And I just need to get XYZ done. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need to start taking this stuff more seriously and kind of like playing with it more so I can knock some of these easy things out.
So give me an example. I'm trying to help you.
That's a perfect example. That's a perfect example. What I want to say is, you know, write me a PHP script that looks like, you know, here's a PHP script that I've written. Write one that looks that in the coding style of that, that exports all of the feeds out of the database and extracts the top level domain from the feed URL.
Man, it doesn't. Have you tried that?
I have not.
Do it. Do it. Now I have to say, I chose Python specifically for two reasons. One, because I have written a little bit of Python in my life, so I kind of understand lots of curly brackets. And the other reason is that I know that most of this stuff is built on Python. Most of these LLMs are, there's a lot of Python code, so it knows Python. I'm sure it does PHP fine. I mean, what you just said is a perfect prompt, but then I would paste your example code. And when you say in the style of this, paste it in there.
Okay.
Do not, here's what I learned. Do not drag a file with code into the box and say, here's the code.
Paste it into the prompt.
Yeah, I paste it into the prompt. If you drag the file in, you'll realize 30 minutes later that I only read half your file. I don't have your whole file. You didn't give me a file. Okay. I didn't see any file. You truncate stuff.
Oh, and so like you would do like, here's a script I already wrote, like colon, and then paste it in there and then continue your prompt.
Colon, new line, paste.
Okay.
New line. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Give it, just paste the whole code in there. It's amazing.
to date, the only times I've used it is for things where I'm trying to double check if I have the right idea about the structure of something. So I've said,
oh, like, you're just doing code check. You're saying check it and see if this is right.
Not even code I've written yet. I'll have an idea of something. I'll say, you know, write a Rust program that uses fast XML parser to do something in such and such a way. And I'm just trying to see if that's actually even a valid thought process of how to do it. And sometimes it comes out. And it's like, yeah, that was right. It can do it that way. Mm-hmm. That's really the only time I've used it. I haven't really gotten into much else.
So I did an experiment the other day. I have the web we talked about last week. What is the thing you can load an LLM into? It's called what is it called? I'm looking out my Start9 server. It's called, come on, Dave, help me out here. Free GPT-2.
Okay.
So, and that's an app and it runs on my Start9. And you know, let me just open that up. And you log in and it can get you the most recent Llama model and whatever other open source models there are. Mm-hmm. And this, the Start9, it's a fine server. It's certainly more powerful than a Raspberry Pi, but it's nothing to write home about. Open Web UI, that's what it's called.
Yeah, I have a Mac Mini running here at the house with Open Web UI on it.
Right. And so I did the same process and it spit back perfectly good code. Okay. It took 18 minutes, but I got the code I wanted. That was impressive. And that kind of gave me a really good feeling like the future of this stuff, you know, is, you know, maybe we just need, I just need to get an NVIDIA board or something or whatever, and then get set up a little system at home and, you know, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. It's funny. I wonder what I'm not going to pay for anything. I don't think I'll ever pay for something like Grok, but I would love to run something on my own server on this Open Web UI server. I mean, like, I wonder what the best locally hosted model is, like coding model, maybe Gemma, one of those.
Well, here's what I have. I have Llama, DeepSeek and Mistral and Arena. Apparently there's a new one, Arena.
Okay.
Whatever that Arena model, that's what's showing here. I haven't actually done anything with DeepSeek with coding.
Yeah, I haven't used that either. Cotton Gin said he wants to run Claude. Look, I mean, is Claude going to be released open? I thought that was proprietary.
But I think wouldn't it eventually come to the point where we can pool enough of our servers together so that we can encode our own model as a group?
I've thought about that too. Like, I feel like a model could be trained on the index data to do things like weed out crap feeds, like spam feeds.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Yeah. I thought the other day about, I was like, one of my buddies sent me a write up about OpenAI's CFO and the things she said.
she says a lot.
Yeah.
She's a talker.
Basically saying we'll never have enough money. We need all the money yes. ever created.
Print more, Scott Bessent. We need money.
Yeah. And I was thinking, part of the reason that these AI companies could be buying so many GPUs is simply to drive the price of GPUs up so high that the average consumer can't get hold of them. Because if you got hold of them, you would realize very quickly that with a decently powerful GPU, you could run some of these models yourself and you wouldn't even have to pay for them.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know. I mean, if I just wanted, let me go to Amazon. Let me see if I can buy an NVIDIA board. NVIDIA AI GPU. Yeah, 32 gigabyte. Let's see. Oh, wait, here's the 500 GP Pocket AI. I don't know what that is. RTX. What's the high-end model, man? What's the...
The 5090, I think, is the current high-end.
5090. $2,999. Delivery, only three left in stock. Buy now while stocks last.
I mean, yeah. $3,000? Nobody's going to pay that. No, nobody. But if you had if the GPU costs weren't so high, they were actually reasonable, you could include those in just normal home PCs and people could run stuff locally and you wouldn't need ChatGPT or any of those services.
Well, I was looking at a video by Antazi Intek, who is this crazy Russian chick, I think. Listen to her talk.
Before. What was meant to take weeks stretched into months.
Cool.
And it's still...
But she's a real person. She actually is talking on camera. And she's talking about the data center that they're still building in Taylor, Texas. I'm sorry. And, what happened is... And I'm familiar... I know people who live in Taylor. So, and it was... what is it? Samsung, I think? No, who is it? I forget who it was. Who was the other chip maker? Anyway, so they decided they were going to build their new fab in Taylor, Texas, which really messed up the entire town because everyone immediately put their home up for sale. Because there was all these people who were going to move there. They closed their businesses, the restaurants, everything closed. Everyone's like, "This is going to be a bonanza. I'm going to make so much money selling my shop." But it's taken like 2 years now because right at the minute that they started to build this plant, that's when AI took off. And so they had to rebuild this entire plant to build these 2-nanometer chips. Now, with 2-nanometer, I mean, this is such precision laser work that you need. They basically built 5 New York length skyscrapers down into the ground to create a stable environment because the building can't be the slightest rumble or anything. They built an air purification system that is 5 football fields.
Good grief.
Oh yeah. And it's all to build AI chips. So the investment that is going in to this, that is enormous. So it's actually not $2,000-$3,000. Actually amazing that it's that cheap when you think about all the investment that's gone into this. So I understand those prices, but eventually that will come down. The power, they built their own power plant. Water, they built their own water purification plant and recycling plant.
And at the end of it, what do we get? We get people that make deep fake porn.
You get
Grok.
This.
Hi, Dave.
There you go. There, thank you.
For billions and billions and billions
of
dollars.
It's over $1 trillion now.
Trillions of dollars.
So people
can make 30-second porn videos.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, eventually I might even splurge and just get one of these. I'm not sure what kind of box I need to put it into. I'm not even sure. I've never built a PC.
The CPU is probably, that's any just any decent modern CPU is fine. You don't need.
Yeah, but yeah. An enclosure. I mean, will it fit in the box that I have?
Oh yeah. I mean, you just get a ATX, anything ATX form factor will fit it.
Yeah. So, you know, because running this at home, that might actually be pretty cool. I mean, I am paying money. The 11 labs, I mean, I'm paying real money for that.
Yeah, I mean, amortize that out over a few years and then build your PC and save and run it yourself.
Yeah, and it just seems more fun. Now, of course, the question is, can I train anything? And that, I think, is a whole different ball of wax. I mean, that seems to, building a model seems to be very, very expensive.
Yeah.
I just don't know enough about it.
I agree with Darren. How have you never built a PC?
I was a Mac guy. You
wasted so many years on the Mac.
You're telling me, dude.
you should be running a rig with like Arch Linux on it or something right now.
It's really sad. It really is. But you know, as I said, it was 10, 11 years ago. I gave up on Mac entirely. I was disgusted by what they had done. And this is right after they screwed up Final Cut Pro. You know, they went from Final Cut Pro 7 to 10 or X, whatever, and just sucked balls. It was so bad. Then they had Lightning, and then, you know, Lightning screwed up with Thunderbolt. All these formats that were incompatible just all sucked. And so that's when I went to Windows. And really just, I mean, I only use Windows for the apps. I mean, everything else in my life is Linux. And again, no need to email me and tell me that my Roadcaster will work on Linux. It won't. It won't. See, no. Dave Jones.
Yeah, right. I can attest to
it
that.
It really won't. It really won't. That's because they won't make drivers. Okay. I get it. I get it, kids. That's fine. I mean, my world is Linux. Otherwise, is everything. I mean, I'm in command line. I love command line.
You just need to throw your mouse in the trash and use one of those keyboard only Linux distros.
Yeah, but again, if it would connect to my Roadcaster, I would.
No, I mean, I don't mean for the show. I just mean for like.
Do you know how long I've been using Mutt? I still have Mutt scripts running somewhere on some server.
Why do you even have a mouse?
ISOBot.
You don't even. I mean, if you're using Mutt, you've already bypassed the mouse years ago.
And so you know, here, this is a funny example. So when I got mail bombed about 5 years ago.
I remember
right around Christmas, and someone spent some actual money to subscribe me to thousands of newsletters and all kinds of stuff. And which is, you know, my adamatcurry.com has just ruined the idea of me receiving a newsletter forever, because anything that has the word newsletter or unsubscribe in it goes to a newsletter box. But for that, I use IMAP filter, which is it's a very simple script. I think it may even be a shell. I should take a look and see exactly what it is. I haven't looked at it in years. It runs on a $5 Linode. Let me take a look. And
I remember you sent me a screenshot of your inbox the day that you got mail bombed, and it was like,
oh, it was bad.
Tens of thousands of emails.
Yeah, it was really bad. Let me just see if I can get in here. Yeah. Let me just see what this is. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. So it's. Wait a sec. Here we go. I don't even know what this is. It's a binary.
Are you trying to get into your IMAP filter?
Yeah. No, it's actually a binary. There you go. IMAP filter. It's a binary. I should take a look at that. User bin IMAP filter. Oh, yeah. is very binary. Woo!
You a cat and cat.
I did a cat.
All over the screen.
Woo! Yeah. Oh, man, I'm dizzy. I'm dizzy now.
That's always followed up with a reset command on the terminal.
So, and it's a very simple, takes a very simple config script, and it just goes through my email every couple of minutes and just sorts everything out. So I can literally be looking at my inbox, and which I do a lot. I'm looking at the inbox and, oh, there's something, you know, buy this wine now. I'm like, okay, I could click on it if I want to, or just wait a minute and it goes away and it's in the, and there's a couple of other people who have special mailboxes. There's a couple of people in my life who like to email me 15, 20 things a day. and I love these people.
They have a dedicated bucket.
But, yeah, they do. But the thing is, there's out of the 15 or 20, there's always one gem. So on show days, I go in and I go through everything and let me see what's going on here. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. So my life has been more command line than anything. But the mouse is handy for some stuff.
Yeah, you need to build your own machine. You just have to.
Okay.
You got to. Okay. You would have so, and you, and plus you would just have so much fun.
I'm going to ask for an NVIDIA GPU for Christmas. That will be my Christmas gift. That will
nice.
Be my,
there you go.
That will be my Christmas gift. Yes. Yes, indeed.
You want to thank some people?
Yeah. Let me take a look what I have here on what has come in on the BoostBot during the show, or come in on the helipad, is Sir Libre, 22,222. I'll read his note again. Good to see stuff being worked on. Re-boostograms in the Masto today. I'm confident that Oscar, Stephen B., Alex et al. Will come up with some great solution. Alex's MetaBoost proposal seems interesting to me. By the way, v4vmusic.com. Yes. And you know what? It is wonderful to see this activity taking place in the Masto. Salty Crayon, 1775. Howdy, Boardroom. Got 250 crayon flavors to try on Monday. Semper Fi. Two Frischhunden. Two Frischhunden. Okay. We've got 1123 from Lyceum. That is, of course, Oystein Berger, who will be up next after the board meeting. I like Chad F's comment on giving shout-out messages to listeners streaming sats. Oystein Berger of Mutton Meat and Music is very good at this. Here are 1123 Satoshis as the start of the Fibonacci sequence. Yes, very nice. We got 1,000 sats and a test boost from Oscar Mary twice. Test boost 2. Got it. Creepy eyes. And a third one. So, wow, we got 3,000 sats there. Thank you, Oscar. And then I hit the delimiter after I read this one quickie. It just came in from Dreb Scott, 12,345, 12345. And he just says, go podcasting. So thank you, Dreb.
Go podcasting. We got some PayPals here. These are all mixed in because I didn't have time to print them. That's Kevin Bay, $5. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kevin.
You.
Love that.
Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Cameron's nice. Been around forever.
Appreciate that.
Pod Page, also $25. That's Brendan and the girls and boys at Pod Page.
Guys stepping up. Thank you. Thank you.
Did they change their name to something? Or is it still just Pod Page?
Did they?
I want to say they did a redesign or something. I don't.
Well, hold on a second, because I'm a PodPage customer. I would think I would know that. Hold on a second.
I hope I'm not making that up.
No, it's still PodPage, as far as I can tell. Okay. The podcast website builder. No, it's still PodPage.
Okay, I don't know where I got that. Good. Oh, Martin Lindeskog at New Media, $1. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark Graham, $1. Thank you, Mark. $10 from Eugene Che. I hope that's how you pronounce it, C-H-A-E. I'm going to say Eugene Shea. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eugene. Appreciate that. That's a one-time donation. And Joseph Maraca, $5. Thank you, Joseph. Oscar Mary, $200.
Woo! Hold on a second, baby.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful.
$200 and a proposal in the same day.
Oh, man. Doesn't get any better than that. Keeping the system running, brother. Thank you.
Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting sent us $25, and he says, can't let the incoming go below the outgoing. Dave Jackson. Thank you, Dave.
How much?
$25.
Ooh, thank you, brother. This is people stepping up. Very nice.
Yeah. Yep. Say, let's see. Say they're saving the cash flow.
Yeah, they are.
Post, let's see, we've got some boosts. Post Water Malones. It's watermelon, but with an ES.
Post Malone watermelon. I like it.
Yeah, post watermelones.
That's good. I like that.
3,500 sats through fountain. He says, all the sats on my fountain app.
Whoa.
Oh, you just drained
it. Drained it. Wallet drained. Drained it
dry. Yeah. Let's see. Bruce the Ugly Quacking Duck through Podcast Guru says, make the changes. We as podcasters and listeners will have to adapt. Some pain at first, but growth for sure. 73s.
73s.
Lyceum. Let's see. I like Chad F's comment on giving shout out messages to listeners streaming sats. Oisin Berha of Mutton Meat and Music is very good at this. Here are 1,123 Satoshis as the start of the Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah, that's the one I just read, I think.
No, I thought you read one about...
No, that's the one.
I wasn't paying attention.
I have a 10-minute memory, so...
Yeah, you got a buffer. That's a 10-minute buffer.
That's my buffer.
Yeah. Well, it was such a good boost, I read it again. And the Delimiter, 15015 through for Comic Strip Blogger through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I would like to thank Boomy from www.getalby.com for his help in the area of Albi Hub to my friend from Alaska, fellow Pomeranian lover, Lady Vox. Boomy can be found on Twitter/X at Boomy and on Fediverse at Boomy at cosmos.social. Thank you very much, Boomy. Yo, CSB.
Oh, beautiful CSB. So, you know, he yells, he rants, he raves, but then he's sweet. There was a lot of ranting and raving at Boomy on the Mastodon. And, you know, I have known Comic Strip Blogger for so long, longer than two of my wives, actually. And that's just who he is. You know, it's just how he talks. And I love that our group, because he's been kicked out of so many groups. I mean, I'm sure he would hate for me to go into his history. He's been kicked out of conferences just for being him and for asking the questions that he has the way he asks them. And I love that our group still loves him. You know what I mean? It's like he fits in somehow. It says a lot about us. It really does. I'm very pleased to see that he has a home in our ragtag orchestra of RSS nut jobs.
I think this group really has the ability to let people just be who they are and move on and just pay attention to the content.
We might rant a little bit with each other, but then we do move on. We're just like, oh, okay, I'm just going to move on. That's fine.
Yeah. You get it out of your system.
And you move on.
The reset button.
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
RSSnutjobs.com.
Yes. Ooh, hold on a second. Hey,
don't do it. I shouldn't have done it. No.
Hold on a second. Yes, RSSnutjobs.
I'm wasting your money.
And this is nutjobs.com. This is a good one. Let me add it. boom, 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 shakalaka, boom, boom. Yes, I got it. Woo!
$20 down the drain.
Some people go to the boat and gamble. I buy domain names. RSSnutjobs.com. Where will I send it? Where will I send it? I can't wait to find out. This show is costing me. This whole project is costing me money.
Oh, it is. You are your own worst enemy in that regard. I have to save you money constantly.
Oh, this is interesting. Something went wrong, but don't worry. I'm fixing to uncover why this panda is so sad. What?
What? Is it? Was this on Namecheap?
No, DN Simple.
DN Simple?
Let me try that again.
What a bizarre error message.
Well, and it has a picture of a panda.
That's completely unhelpful.
Well, no, it said something went wrong and this sad panda is going to take care of it. Boom. Okay. I got confetti. Nice. Feel good now. Feel good. I got confetti.
Pandering software.
Yes. Did we have any monthlies? Did we get everything? Is everything done?
Yeah, that was everything wrapped up. That's why I read the same boost twice, because I was trying to reorient myself in my mailbox.
So, Dave, I don't know what your plans are this weekend, but I'm
tomorrow I'm going to Atlanta.
Oh, what are you doing in Atlanta?
another rock climbing competition every weekend for the entire month of November.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that you'll have some time to try out some of Adam Curry's vibe coding tips. Come on, man. Come on. Give it a shot.
I'm gonna read the transcript and I'm gonna follow the tips.
Yes. Read the transcript on you're driving, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. 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 I'll read the transcript and then I'll deploy tips.
Okay. All right, brother. Have yourself a great weekend.
All right, man. You too.
Okay. Hey, Boardroom. Thank you very much for being here with us. We are moving forward. We are making history, changing the world. Don't you feel good? We'll see you next week on 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Why do you even have a mouse?
Hi, Dave.